Welcome to the Biogeometric Integration Community Call Series, a monthly call for the chiropractic profession, hosted by Dr. Amy Burke. The topic for this call is Prosperity, presented by Dr. Maria Amick and Dr. Amy Burke, recorded on September 11, 2007.
From Quebec.
Hey.
Chris James in Atlanta.
Chris, how are you?
Hey, doing all right. I'm in the library, so I gotta be quiet.
Hi, this is Amy.
Hey, Amy.
Hey, Sue. If anybody else wants to be heard, they can press the 6 button on their phone, and that should work to unmute.
Terry from Davenport. Hello. Hey.
Hi.
So Amy, I'm gonna mute on the phone that I'm calling on, that I'm recording on.
Okay.
And then I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Okay.
Hey, Amy, it's Chris.
So who do we have on the call at this point? And if you're trying to talk and you can't, press the 6 button on your phone.
Regini.
Hi, Regini.
Chris in Atlanta.
Hey, Chris.
Hey.
And then a bunch of people whose 6 buttons aren't working. Hello? Is Maria on yet?
Or yeah, Mary? They just got on. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Who's
and
here?
Is Carrie Miller on, by any chance? I am not sure.
Martha just came on.
Hi, Martha.
I'm in Sacramento.
Hey, Martha.
Love how everybody comes on from all over the country. I think it's so cool.
It is.
Hey, Amy, I'm back.
Okay. I was just forming the words. Sue is about to join us. I'll still give people a few more minutes to straggle in.
I think that's good.
Hi, this is Yvonne.
Hi, Yvonne.
Hi.
So, Amy, can you do that thing where you don't hear the beeps all over or no?
I have it set that way on the computer, so I don't know why it's doing that. I'm going to have to see if I can do something about that when I can extricate myself away from this beast that's attached to me right now. That should be long asleep.
That isn't following your rules.
No, and I really don't have any hard and fast rules. At about 8:57, she had very tired eyes. And then I had to go get the phone, and that interrupted that whole thing. So, yeah, she's pretty good on the rules, just not so good on my schedule. Cool. So we've gone from 5 people to 16 people in about the last 3 minutes. So I feel like we should probably give people a few more minutes. And if you want to say hello, just press the 6 button on your phone, and that should unmute you.
Hello.
Hi, this is Jess and Brandon in Winnipeg, Canada.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Pete in North Carolina.
And Holly, are you on yet? I'll take that as a no. And Carrie Miller, are you here? Okay. All right, so I'm just going to give a brief sort of layout of what the call is about tonight. And it's changed forms a couple of times since it's since we talked about it. And the main concept we're going to look at tonight is the big idea of prosperity. And when I say big idea, my goal is that we expand our awareness of the concept of being prosperous to include all different types of prosperity. So whether it's financial abundance or freedom or time spent with your family or whatever you're passionate about, that you are feeling like your life and your livelihood is providing you the opportunity to experience more than enough of all of the things that you absolutely love to do and have and be in the world. And I truly believe in the concepts that in some ways are represented by the New Thought movement of this concept of infinite possibility and infinite abundance and infinite supply. And I know that when we are in our offices or doing our work as chiropractors, whether it's in office or in school, and are tapped into that universal source, we know when we're there, and we call it universal intelligence or infinite intelligence. And other people call it God, other people call it all kinds of words. And for me, I'm hoping tonight on the call that we can create a language for ourselves as a community that works for us, but also that we can be inclusive enough in the concept so that if somebody's using a word that doesn't necessarily fit with your concept of what the divine is or infinite possibility, that you can reword it for yourself so that it fits in your framework. Because I know when I started chiropractic college and they started talking about universal intelligence, to me it sounded an awful lot like God, which was a word that made me personally panic. And I've since become really fine with both of those words. But sometimes for me they're interchangeable and sometimes they're not. So if anybody on the call has better words, please feel free to contribute them, whether it's in the call or whether it's at a later date in an email format or something, so that we can, as a community, start creating a language that makes sense for us and is more accessible to us as a group. So the concept is prosperity. One of the things we're going to talk about is the opportunity for us as a group to be supporting each other in doing a 40-day prosperity program. And anybody who wants to do this is welcome, encouraged to do it. If you have friends or family that would like to do it with you, that's awesome. It doesn't have to be somebody who is on this call right now. It doesn't have to be somebody who's in the BGI community. It doesn't have to be somebody who's in the coaching program. I feel very strongly that the more momentum and inclusion that we have, the bigger this experience can be for all of us, and the synergy of more and more people contributing and becoming clear on our infinite ability to manifest and create opportunities for abundance and prosperity. It can only be enhanced by more people participating. So that's one thing we're going to talk about. Another thing I'd like to talk about is a little bit about the concepts of prosperity and how they came about and why, to me, it makes sense as a chiropractor that we be surrounded by prosperity in every aspect of our being. And then I also want to really get contributions from people on the call.
And I know Maria has some things she'd like to say, and Sue has some things she'd like to share. And this weekend, we were at a wonderful BGI2 in New Jersey, and we talked a little bit about some really fascinating stuff about pelvic disconnections. And, okay, we didn't really talk about it. Sue talked about it. And the pelvic disconnections being indicative of an inability to receive, and how that seems to be endemic not only to our culture, but in particular to our profession, and how difficult it is for us as chiropractors to receive, and how that may, in fact, stifle the divine flow of abundance that is our birthright and is totally ours and is so absolutely earned and deserved by people who are in our profession serving in the highest form people of all situations and every way serving people, and how some of us have a poverty consciousness which prevents us from being able to receive. And that may be receiving on a monetary level. It may be receiving in a personal relationships that are satisfying level. It may be difficulty receiving new people in your practice, or the right people to surround you and support you so that your work and life flow effortlessly. So that's something that I really want to ask you about, so that you all can hear what she has to say, because I found it really fascinating. So, Maria, do you feel like you can start talking a little bit about the concept of prosperity from your perspective, or am I putting you too much on the spot?
Just with the day I just had, I feel on the spot. Could you just start by asking me any question at all?
Yeah,
I can, because I just got here.
Yep. So a lot of people attach the concept of prosperity to a very financial definition. And you and I had spoken maybe 3 weeks ago about how the concept of prosperity is so much greater than money or the flow of money or what our bank account looks like or what our spreadsheet looks like at the end of the month, if anybody has a spreadsheet. And so I would love to get your perspective on, for you, what the concept of prosperity means and how big of a concept it is.
Well, it's huge, and it relates to flow, like exactly relates to flow in my mind. And I know there's definitions of prosperity, but in the last couple of years, I feel like my prosperity has increased exponentially, so I don't really even know how to describe how much. How it feels like it started for me is that I just started wanting to feel good all the time. And I know I've talked about this on a previous call, but, I mean, that sounds so simply said, but, I mean, I look at everywhere in my practice or where I was doing something I didn't want, like, for example, trying to set up my corporation on Quicken account. And every time I handed over a job to somebody who could do it better, more prosperity would come to me. So the moment I trusted the universe and said, I'm going to pay an accountant to do this because this wastes my time I could spend better, I would have more prosperity in my life, whether it was better friendships or that I could get closer or more intimate with the friends I have, with my partner, with my family. And it also seemed to pretty much mean immediately more people in my practice. So the more energy I had for living and the more energy I had, just the more I got to spend it the way I wanted, which ultimately would make me happier and have more fun, like, all the time. And I feel like I have lots and lots of examples where this would just keep showing up. And so, like, not just the accountants, but, you know, at first I just had my mom as my secretary in my practice, and soon it was realizing we're busting at the seams and she has way too much to do. And the moment I put another person in there and start arguing about whether or not I had enough money in my head to do this, but I put another person in with, you know, hiring or saying, look, I'm hiring you for 20 hours right now. I know you want 30. I have a feeling you're going to have 30. I just don't want to promise that. So if that's going to stop you from coming here, I need you to know you're guaranteed 20. The next thing you know, she's working, you know, 35 hours, and we're figuring out, okay, we need to hire somebody else. But my point is when she came in, the moment she came in, or at least the moment within a month, my practice, again, grew so much, and I'd have more people, because now it wasn't just my mom handling the inflow of calls. It was her, and she was getting there earlier, and so she could handle a lot. So even empty spaces that I might have had, you know, last year in my day became filled up. And it was less worry for me because I wasn't feeling like I was putting too much stress on my mom. And so every time I just trusted the universe, more would come back to me. And every time I just trusted how I was feeling, and I'd make a decision based on how I was feeling, like, I don't like cleaning my house, so I'm going to have someone clean it. I don't care if I have much money at the end of the month. It's going to make me feel good to have a clean house. Then more people would come in my practice, and, you know, I would get calls to do really, really fun things that I wasn't getting calls to do before. And I just don't know if they would have shown up if I didn't have the breathing space for myself to let them show up. How's that for a start, Amy?
That's awesome.
Okay.
I'm trying to flesh out other ways. Sue, I know you talked earlier in the day about, I don't want to get quite into your awesome prosperity 40-day program stories yet, but can you give me other examples of ways in which you have felt like your prosperity has increased in the last couple years?
So many ways, actually. Financially, obviously, some amazing things have happened, and it's definitely been an interesting year of kind of ups and downs and all arounds. And what's been amazing through it is that with each thing that comes up, that I go, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, you know, how are we going to deal with this? Just the people who've shown up to be of assistance, you know, and it's amazing just all the helpful people. And not only have I felt prosperous in the things that they've been able to assist us in doing, but just feeling all that love and support. And it's amazing how you can have so much going on in your life, and I'm not going to bore you with the stuff that's been going on, but when you know people are there, whether you utilize their services or not, it just makes it all so much easier. And some of it's even been, there have been moments where I've been really just contemplating prosperity, and sometimes it's been through the 40-day plan that we're going to talk about, and sometimes it's just been through visualization separate from that. And it's like there's been a prosperity of time where there's actually windows in the midst of everything that I have to do that I feel like, you know, we're going to have enough time to do this, and I'm going to have enough energy to do this. That's one of the big things that's shown up for me, is that I've had so much energy to accomplish what I need to do. And I'm somebody who's, I work at high peak, high peak, high peak, and then I'm really prone to burnout. And then I just shut off, and I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to answer an email. I don't want to do anything, you know, for days even. And it's been really months since I've experienced that. And so for me, just to feel that vitality in my physiology, in the ideas that are coming, I'm reshaping BGI3 almost completely, just because of the prosperity and abundance of ideas and realizations clinically that are happening. And so, you know, it's almost feels like the money, which is the thing that we can be so distracted by, is secondary to all these amazing, wonderful things. And the sense that, you know what, if I really can be in the flow of ideas and of energy and of love and of the incredible support that's out there, the money's going to be, you know, it's like it's a no-brainer. You know, of course it's going to be here. And yet that can tend to be the thing that we're so distracted by. And so I think just that life and energy has just been amazing.
That's beautiful. And I think that that concept of being distracted by the money is such a good point, because it is so easy to get distracted by the money and the bills. I was reading something in the last few days, and it was just talking about how it's always at hand to focus on the potential next disaster, or what's coming up, or, you know, what bills do I owe, and how we just spend so much time focusing on that, and to have a community focusing on what's right. And I loved what you said about having the vitality and the free expression of the creative ideas and the flow. It's so great. And when I was thinking about this call, Marie and I were chatting, and I said, you know, I feel sort of remiss in leading this call, because it's not like I have the most financially salient practice. I mean, my practice pays for itself, and I get to serve people, and so for me that's a beautiful thing. But I'm in some ways very dependent on Peter's job and how it supports us financially. And I started to think about what's happened for me in the last few years, and what has always been more important to me than money. I grew up in a family where money wasn't that important, and things weren't that important. But what was incredibly important was freedom and being able to do whatever you wanted to do. And I know that money is an incredibly important part of that. And interestingly, in the last year and a half, I have been given opportunities to do things that are, on a financial scale, completely not represented by our lifestyle. And yet other people are paying for this. So, for example, last Christmas, as part of Peter's work, we had to, and I have that in quotations, spend 2 weeks over New Year's at the Four Seasons in Punta Mita, Mexico. And so Louie and I spent every day on the beach having really amazing food and meeting great people, and that was all paid for by somebody else. And it was an incredible opportunity to be in a gorgeous place, a gorgeous climate, and not working over 2 weeks that normally I would be completely tied down at my office and not necessarily busy, but feeling like I had to be there. And the beautiful thing was that for a few hours every day, I also got to adjust the people that we were there with. And so for me, it was a working vacation. And this summer, same situation. Our family spent, I believe it was 17 days, on a 115-foot yacht in the Bahamas. And we had our own yacht. And it was ridiculous, and it was pretty amazing, and it was really cool. And it was an opportunity that I, even if I were a gazillionaire, that's not how I would choose to spend our resources. But to have the opportunity to experience this was unbelievable. And so here I am telling Maria that I don't feel like my bank account would warrant me to be able to lead a conversation about prosperity. And yet when I look at the things that I've been given the opportunity to do in the last year, the amount of freedom that I've been given and the opportunities I've been given say, to me, volumes about being open to the flow and possibility and the different shades and faces and guises of prosperity. So I guess my point in sharing those details is to give everybody the opportunity of looking at the opportunities that face us on a regular basis that we may be afraid to take because it doesn't look a certain way or it doesn't seem to fit in with what we think we deserve or should be doing or should be having. Does anybody else want to share any ideas or stories of their own prosperity or prosperity that they want to manifest and how it might look for them?
Amy?
Yes.
I just want to say a little more in just having observed you and, you know, you at first thinking that prosperity, you know, that maybe you wouldn't be a good speaker on that. I just love to say from a distance, it's really easy to see how you've been through a couple different practice site changes in my time of knowing you, and it happened so effortlessly, and how you would end up in a new place and would be, without be a lot of chaos, and there you would be in your new place, and you'd be advertising, and the name of your practice is called Flourish, and it just happened. You go away for 3 weeks at a time or 2 weeks at a time and a month at a time, and then your practice numbers come right back up. You are a pinnacle, like the pinnacle. You're just really good at having a very prosperous life, and it's fun to see that you can make it very easy, and maybe it doesn't show up as a gazillion dollars in your bank account, but it's definitely clear that you know how to be in the flow, and it's easy to see from an outsider, and I see it with a lot of my friends that I'm lucky to observe. I'd like to say a funny one. I'm working on having more, and I should cancel that word working. I'm allowing for more freedom in my life, and I'm setting up certain systems in my life and having certain things happen so I can have more time in my life. One of the things that I'd like to do with my time is go to this gluten-free bakery that's, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes away. I kind of live in the country, and I don't get there because they're closed most days of the week, and then the days that I could go aren't days that they're open. So my point in saying this is I have a conversation with Joe, and I say I would really like next week on date night that we are ready early enough to go to this bakery before our date begins so we could do that. And we already had decided, well, that's not going to work out because we have to do this, this, and this. But the next day after asking this of him and whatever it is that is, creation, the organizing intelligence, whatever you want to call it, by the next day, I had muffins coming into me gluten-free from one source, gluten-free pizza crust from another source, gluten-free cookies from another source. One of the sources brought me bread, and it's silly, and it might sound so simple, but it feels to me like you're in the flow when you ask somebody for something, and it might not come from them, but it comes from five other directions. And I just noticed that I just need to say, I'd like this, and sure enough, within a couple days, typically, whatever it is I'd like starts to somehow come into my awareness. So,
and Maria, do you find if you're more specific that it happens faster, or does it not really matter?
No, that's a great question. I feel like the only time I've learned to be specific with what I want is when I really, really, really know my specifications. And I know it on a feeling, heart, gut, excitement, joy level. And if I don't know my those specifications, then I don't get specific because it seems like it always twists me up or binds me up in a direction I don't need to go or slows me down. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So
I find for me that the specificity, yeah, it just depends on what I'm doing. Like, I think what resonated most with what you just said was the specificity is more about how it makes me feel what I want rather than the exact thing. So, like, when I was looking for an office space, I wanted it to truly happen effortlessly, and I wanted it to feel really like a match in whatever that was. And I didn't care about the location. I didn't care about whether it was my own office or whether it was with somebody else. And there were all these things that it didn't really matter. I just wanted it to happen effortlessly and be easy and be within my price range and all these things. And it showed up so fast. And yet there's been other things that I was incredibly specific about. I mean, I'm sure everybody has heard my story of finding Peter and having made a list of 88 things that I really wanted to have in a partner. And when I look back at them, like, some of them were incredibly specific and some of them were really broad. And it was all about how I would feel loved in a partnership or how I would feel in my office space, whether it would feel open or airy, or I would feel constricted, or it was light, or it was accessible, and there were all these things. So I think that for me, one of the most important things in manifesting these aspects of prosperity, all of the various types, is how do you feel when it shows up, and what are we asking for in terms of support? And so I think that that's a really valuable exercise for everybody to really concentrate on the feelings of what, when it comes, how does it feel? And as we start focusing on what we already have and the feelings that we have in the gratitude of what we've already been given, suddenly we become aware of all of the gifts that surround us, and that awareness of our own prosperity only multiplies, and it only gets stronger, and then it only brings more, which is such an incredible gift, having that cycle and that process. Does anybody have anything else they want to add to that piece? That's perfect. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about this program. There is a very small green book called The Abundance Book, and it's by John Randolph Price. And I will send all this out via email to our mailing list. So if you are on our mailing list, you'll get this information. But if you want to write it down, please feel free. It's called The Abundance Book. It's by John Randolph Price. And you can get it at Amazon. You can also get it at the Quiet Mind Bookstore through agapelive.com, and their phone number is 310-348-1266. And Agape is the spiritual community in Southern California that was started by Reverend Michael Beckwith, who is one of the main speakers in the movie The Secret. He is black, and he has dreads, and he's incredibly articulate and really inspiring, and he's been on Oprah a couple times after being on The Secret. And when I was talking to Sue about doing this program, we were trying to figure out how to make this happen, and so I called Agape to find out whether or not we could support them and support people of a like-minded consciousness by buying the book from them. So they have copies available, and it's also available on Amazon. And on Amazon, I noticed they had a lot of used copies for less than $5. So get yourself an abundance book if you want to participate in this. And in the abundance book, they have a 40-day prosperity plan. And the concept of the 40 days, just like any program, is that it requires a longer than we might like commitment to a change of consciousness in order for real and profound change to happen. So one of the first things that it talks about is creating a start date and then having that truly be the beginning of something big, and that if you aren't able to follow through on your commitment every day, that if you fall off the wagon, per se, that you start over. So as an effort to help everybody and support each other as a group, we are going to have, again, this is totally voluntary and totally if you want to, we're going to have a halfway through conference call where people can share their what's been going on for them, and then we'll do it again at the end of the 40 days. So what I'm going to send out via email is the start date, which will be next Monday, and the calendar dates of the following two calls. And we'll use the same call-in number. I ask that if you want to participate in a more regular mode of communication, we can set up a listserv through Yahoo, and that would require that you send me your email address and just let me know that you would like to participate in that. And the way that would work is I'll set up the group, and then you'll get an email from Yahoo asking you to participate in the group, and you have to click on something, and then you're on the list. And you can either get a daily digest of all the emails, or you can get them as they come in, and you can respond or not. It's completely up to you. It can just be people putting out their wonderful experiences. Hey, guess what happened to me this week? Or please keep me in your thoughts because I'm struggling or whatever. And I just feel like having that thread of community will be really supportive for people. So I actually have not participated yet in the 40-day program. I've read a little bit of the book, and what really strikes me is how congruent the philosophy of infinite abundance and infinite supply fits in with chiropractic, and that was what I was saying at the beginning of the call. It just, for me, they go so well together, and it makes so much sense to me as chiropractors when we are tapped into that flow that we talk about so often in our adjusting, that we are also tapped into that universal flow, which is representative of complete abundance, complete creativity, complete possibility, endless, infinite, divine everything. And it is all good. And the only thing that can limit that is our own perception and our own experience. And what I have read that makes sense to me is that our limitations and our feelings of lack are simply based on perceptions that have been handed down to us, and they have no basis in reality. And when I am able to sit in that space, it makes so much sense to me. It's a little bit harder sometimes when you're sitting in the middle of the muck to be able to perceive it differently. So that's why I think having a book and having the support is really a nice way to go through it. I would love to hear a couple experiences from people who have participated in this program or a similar program where abundance and prosperity was the focus, so that we can inspire other people to join us. And remember, it's truly not about the money, quote unquote. It's about abundance in every aspect of your life. So, but Sue, I know you have a phenomenal story. And Maria,
yeah.
I feel like you have one, and maybe Joe has one.
Yeah.
Or maybe yours is Joe's. Okay, so Sue, why don't you tell us yours?
So, first off, I've done a lot of programs with varying success in this and that. This 40-day one was the most amazing one. And the first time I did it, you know, I'm doing my little thing, you know, 15, 20 minutes a day. And I'd say we were probably 2.5 weeks into it, something like that. And we got contacted by the county that they were going to widen our street, and that they, you know, the what is it, eminent domain thing or whatever, and they were going to take a slice of our property. And I'm looking at this stuff realizing that if they do that, we're going to be completely now against code, because all the, you know, measurements and this and that have to happen. Now, because everything is shortened, we're going to essentially be screwed. And I guess we get grandfathered in, but if ever we were to sell this place, they were talking that the person would have to go in code, which essentially means they'd have to rip down the building. And so I was thinking, oh, my gosh. And, you know, part of me was going, yeah, right, prosperity, shmosperity, you know, this and that. And so I started asking them questions and asking them questions and questions. And a long story short, instead of me having to sell them a section of my property, what we did instead, because essentially with widening, that they were going to build a wall so that they could, along our big ditch, so that they could put a sidewalk in and all that stuff. In looking at it, the wall wasn't actually going to be within my property line, but they had to be able to come onto my property to build it. And so instead of having to sell it, what we did was we granted them a permanent easement, which essentially means they can walk on my property to mow the lawn and to upkeep on the wall. And so I wasn't losing any property at all. And get this, they paid me $19,000 to be able to stand on my property to build their wall. And so really for nothing, the county just gave us $19,000. And I'm going, oh, my gosh. And so by the time I was probably 35 days into it, we get a check for $19,000. And essentially for nothing, except now I, instead of this god-awful ditch I had to mow, there's this really nice stone wall and a nice sidewalk along it and nothing for me to upkeep. So not only did I get money for nothing, I now have more time because I don't have to spend about 2 hours a week with a weed whipper mowing this god-awful ditch. And so that was the first time I did it. The second time I did it, it wasn't so much an influx of money, but that's when all these people started showing up just to help us with this and help us with that. And I think a bigger thing in that was that, you know, I don't know if this is from, it's probably from how I was raised or this or that or whatever, but it doesn't matter how much money I have. I'm always worrying about money. And I've done a lot of things as far as visualization and talking to myself that worry is not preparation for anything. But what was amazing during the second time is that a lot of that worry about money was just kind of lifted. And I could have, you know, a lot of money coming in or not so much. The office could be busy or not. But there was this deep knowing that everything was going to be fine. And this deep knowing that, you know what, I've always had enough money. And so why would tomorrow be any different than any previous day? And realizing that a lot of the stress around it was stress that I created simply by worrying about it. And that was a huge, huge shift. And I have to say, even though I don't repeat a cycle, you know, every 40 days for this thing, but overall that feeling of, you know what, it's going to be okay financially has just stuck. And I think that's been one of the biggest, biggest gifts. And I'll have maybe moments of, oh, but then it's like, no, it's going to be okay. And that, for me, I think was a bigger gift than the $19,000, although the 19 grand was pretty cool. So anyway, those are my two stories.
And can I add on to that, Sue? Having experienced, I think, a little piece of the everything works out for me, is that it was bigger than the money, that it was truly everything works out for me, which, having been around you before that realization and after that realization, it's really nice.
Yeah, it is.
And it's really nice because I love you, and I love knowing that you know that things are going to be okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Makes my job a lot cushier.
Oh.
You know, and I'm a doctor, so that's good. Cool. All right, Maria, you want to share yours?
Yeah, I have two stories rolled into one, my version and Joe's version. So we do this together, and I thought about it because I was in the middle of starting a lot of things, and, you know, in the past, I have a little bit of anxiety in the morning with all that I have to do for the day, so I made sure I'd do this at the end of the day when I was calmer, and we would sit there at the end of the day, and I have to be honest and tell the truth that sometimes I was falling asleep during doing it. So you could see my journal, and there's writing that was falling off the page, but I believe that that divine wisdom, or whatever you want to call it, granted me easement, should you say, that everything worked out anyway. I would say about 30 days into it, and this part is the money part, Joe has two professions. One, he's a mechanical contractor. He owns his own business with his brothers and his dad, and they were doing a big demolition of a plant that needed to move to a different location. So they had to basically tear down all these big pieces of equipment, and some of them were going to be moved, and then some of them just needed to be disassembled. And this was his job. His other job's a hypnotherapist, and he loves both. So anyway, 30 days in approximately, he gets $27,000 worth of cash for scrap metal that was split among him and his brother for the job that they just did. And it just basically comes out of nowhere, because typically they don't do demolition jobs. They just happen to have all the equipment for it. And so that money came in and above all the money they got for the job in the first place. And it just came from nowhere. And it was pretty exciting for him because it was, you know, 3/4 of the way through this 40-day process. And so he was pretty psyched about that. And enough so that his brothers kind of got excited too, because they joke a lot and talk to each other a lot about what each other is doing. So it kind of made his brothers, who have a very different mindset, you know, their ears perk up and their eyes perk up. And in the middle of it, for me, although money definitely started flowing in more, and that was 100% true, what was a huge thing for me was that our relationship changed. Joe and my relationship changed significantly in a really good direction that would help us for our future, and that was when I was moving in to his house, and it was before we were married, and it's his space, et cetera, et cetera. And even though he's telling me it's my space, there wasn't space for my stuff yet, and we didn't have time to create stuff. And I had come from a situation where I had plenty of space for my stuff, and I had a cleaning person. And it was in those 40 days that I think his allowing opened up, and he realized, wow, if this is going to work, she needs things to be okay for her too. And having had some sort of control over his space, which I respect, he said, okay, so we're going on vacation, you know, at the end of this 40-day prosperity plan, which was a nice day to end because we ended up in Aruba on day 40. We also came back and had a cleaning person, and it just shifted everything because our energy was going in a lot of different directions, but it wasn't going to creating space for two people to live in one person's house who's lived there for a long time. And, like, from that moment of getting back from that vacation, everything shifted yet again in a really good way for a possible wonderful future between us. And it really was needed. So they're my little stories from my first time that I did the plan. And I also want to comment that the words used, and I'm really so glad, Amy, you mentioned in the beginning, like you so eloquently put it, you know, if somebody's using words that you don't resonate with, kind of like fill in the blanks, because whether we're talking about innate intelligence or divine wisdom or whatever it is that people are comfortable with using, I just want to say that this book masterfully worked in my life. Joe being skeptical as well, it masterfully worked in his life. He still refers to it. He's going to be doing it with us again because he's excited about it. And at the same time, for someone, some of the words, you just need to take a deep breath and say, okay, how does this relate to chiropractic philosophy? And without going in one direction or another, and I'm trying to be specific, some of the words can be slightly overwhelming for some people because basically this John Randolph Price single-handedly decides to make it his responsibility to tell you that, you know, we are a part of the infinite supply of the universe. And the fact that we're alive and living and the fact that we breathe means that there's this endless supply and that it's highly suggested that we surrender to those ideas. And for some people, it might not be words they're used to hearing, and yet if you just let yourself melt into the words, you know, twist them in your head to what you would hear in a BGI seminar or whatever works for you, it's an amazing program. Do you need me to define that better, Amy, or did I?
No, I think that's good. I mean, you know, it's going to, as you said, it's going to work for some people in terms of the words that are in here, and it may be challenging for other people. I know when I read Marianne Williamson, she's incredibly Christ-based, and I struggle with that because for me, Jesus was a nice guy and all, but I struggle with the amount of energy and power that has been given to him, and yet what she writes that is hers is so moving to me. So for me, I've been able to kind of skip past the parts that don't resonate with me, and I also get to look at my own resistance to that and figure out what that's about. So
thank you. What you just said was perfect, and you know, just those first couple pages when I was reading it, I was just taking a deep breath and going, wow, this language is really strong, and I haven't heard language as strong in quite a while. And then I just let myself not think about how it's strong language, but think about what does it relate to in my life and how those words work for me. And when I was able to just take a deep breath and relax, it was like, wow, okay, I can go here. And, you know, maybe I wouldn't use these words if I were writing my own book, but hey, those words did work for me, even though I started with that initial resistance. So I just want to comment on that and to that for people who, when they get the book, go, this isn't what I was expecting. And it's like, just go for the ride anyway. It could be really, really fun.
Yeah, and I guess to that end, that we should say that this is not, like, BGI, the BGI community is not expected to think a certain way or do a certain thing on Sundays or Mondays or Wednesdays. You know, everybody's
no.
totally encouraged to be and find their own blend of spirit, of joy, of bliss, and this is just words that seem to work. And please, as we create this awareness and movement in our community, if you have other resources that are have been useful to you, please let us know what they are. I'm just looking in my bookcase right now, and I will send out a book list of stuff that I have, and some of it I love, and some of it hasn't been as helpful to me. But it's amazing how much stuff is out there about becoming what you dream of being, and whether that means incredibly financially successful or wealthy or being a mother or being the busiest chiropractor in your city or whatever it is, that it's all possible. And one thing that spoke to me when I was reading this book today is, if it's been done by one, then what makes us think that it can't be done by all? And I always use that example in my office when people say, you know, do you think I can get better? And without getting into a conversation about length of care or the time I think it's going to take for them to heal, my answer is always absolutely. We all know examples of people who have come from whatever diagnosis to being an incredibly healthy, whole person still with us on this planet. And if one person can do it, we can all do it. We are holographic, energetic beings. And if we look at what that means and the power that that embodies in those words, we know that everything is possible. That going from being completely destitute to incredibly wealthy is absolutely possible. You know, the pursuit of happiness. Like, that's a real story. That happened to that guy. Yes, he worked his ass off, but it happened. And how many people in that same situation could have had a different outcome? And yet, he completely gave in to his dream and his desire of wanting to provide for his child and became this incredibly successful person. And then he wrote a book about it, and forget it. It's all over. He's rolling in dough. And I got the sense, for at least from the movie, that he was also had incredibly profound and strong relationships with his family and the people that were around him. So blessed in many ways.
I would love to just, throw out there, just like Sue does at every seminar, that there's pieces to bring in the BGI community from everybody. And it's not on my short list, but I would love some kind of prosperity program created within the geometry, or at least just from a potential perspective, stored potential. And just saying that, because as somebody is doing this program, or maybe they're not going to do this program at all, but they did others and they thought about it and they could have it be a language that, you know, chiropractors for decades to come might, you know, really resonate with a new language. So just saying, somebody out there might really like to do that, and I'd really like to read it and buy that from them. So,
excellent. So we have our first copy sold.
And I'd like to hear. Please bring it on.
Yes. All right, so on that note, Sue, will you please share the stuff that you were talking about, which was so cool, about these pelvic disconnections that you keep finding in our chiropractic friends, and what it feels like to you on your hands and what it feels like to you on a more energetic and intellectual level?
So I've kind of mentioned this at passing, I think, in maybe at the tail end of BGI3s or whatever, so who knows how much actually gets in by that late in the day. But essentially, if primarily concerns that flow that we talk about, that's up the back of the spine, down the front of the spine. and whether it completes that full circle. And so we know that as the posterior opens up, that posterior flow actually starts to increase and strengthen. And there becomes a point where that momentum is strong enough that it actually arcs over the cranium fully and essentially activates the anterior patterns or awakens the anterior geometry, essentially brings awareness to whatever word you want to use. And as that flow arcs over the cranium, that return flow of the anterior starts to come into play, and the anterior patterns show up, and blah, 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 blah. And what theoretically or what's possible to happen as the anterior opens up is that then that return flow cycles back through along the inferior aspect of the pelvis and completing that circle or that kind of cosmic egg of breath of energy flow. And everything that I've read about that and also the feel that it has is that posterior pump essentially is kind of like that energy that comes through us, and then it arcs over, and that's what we give out to the world. And what's necessary in that, if we truly want to be in that flow of giving and receiving, is that energy comes up from the posterior, we give it out as it arcs over, we extend that love, that gift, that service out to the world, and then it flows through, and as it hooks up in the inferior aspect of the pelvis to complete that cycle, then everything that we give out to the world actually comes back and nourishes us. And that's what allows us to be in that flow and in that infinite flow of giving and receiving, where when you're in the flow of that, everything that you put out to the world is returned to you. And there's the idea of getting depleted through service simply can't happen because we are in that constant flow. Well, what often happens, however, is, and I think it's a lot just the attitudes that we're, raised with, it's better to give than receive, and, anything that's worthwhile is worth working hard for, and just, all those messages that we get, and that, money is the root of all evil, just that kind of stuff that goes on in our languaging and in our culture, that we tend to be so easy with that giving part, but the receiving is often very difficult. And when you have those patterns over time overlaid, what that creates is really a very deep-seated tension in the floor of the pelvis. And there's a few things I think that feed into that. One is our lifestyle tends, and societally we tend to store a lot of stuff in the lower pelvis anyway, and we tend to disconnect through there. If you take a look at us as chiropractors, that's absolutely where we tend to disconnect, simply because of the fact that we're bent over generating forces all day. And so what shows up is this disconnection in the lower pelvis that really keeps that flow from cycling back through and feeding and nourishing us and feeding into that posterior flow, which then strengthens. And I think that shows up for a lot of reasons. Obviously, the initial patterns there simply because, as I mentioned, lifestyle patterns, the messages that we get, all the stuff that happens to lock up the pelvis. But two, one of the things that's shown up in teaching and in, adjusting people just kind of in the field is that the disconnections in the lower extremity and in the upper extremity, when you're looking at anterior patterns, simply aren't being addressed. And I think one of the reasons is that because we don't really use the leg check and because we adjust from the top down, people then tend to clear or adjust the correlates through anterior geometry, and then they simply kind of forget about, oh, did it integrate down the legs? And in fact, in the upper extremity too. But we're talking more specifically about that disconnection at the lower part of the pelvis for this issue. That, if you address that, can open it up some. But in addition, often, even if we do take a look at how it integrates down the legs, there's the sense of how deep those patterns in the pelvis go. And so you end up where maybe on the surface it feels like there's continuity, but if you really tune in, the deeper parts of the pelvis haven't released. And if those haven't released, then that hookup from the anterior and the posterior of that flow simply won't hook in. And, well, not that it never will, but chances are it's not as likely to. And so what we've noticed is that almost this disconnection between the anterior and posterior plane along the very inferior aspect, and how it shows up is that you'll actually see as you release the anterior patterns, more and more often disconnections coming from the anterior pelvis, and you'll notice at the very, very bottom, it's almost like there's an increase in density that'll occur. And so it tightens and tightens and tightens, and sometimes it's in such a thin layer that unless you're really paying attention, you won't necessarily notice it. You'll just say, oh, that's just the rim of the pelvis or whatever. Another thing that feeds into that is I think because as the anterior structures open up and release, they expand up. And so often when people, especially if they put a final impulse at that pelvic correlate, or even if they don't, because the structures open up, one's tendency is to almost have a sense that the energy is opening up and going superiorly too. And so as those anterior structures release, a lot of the times they kind of rock superiorly in the system because there's a lifting that happens. And the thing is that those open up superiorly, but they expand that way to open to accommodate that anterior return flow. And structures are expanding kind of upward, but still feeling that kind of the flow of energy come down, and then just taking a couple of seconds to tune into around the coccyx, around the front of the coccyx and perhaps lower sacrum to have a sense and to feel that anterior return flow hook around and then feed into the posterior. And you'll actually be able to feel it build that momentum through the posterior structures. And it's almost like there's a relief because now the flow is churning as opposed to just pumping back and forth. Does that make sense? Hello?
Yes, it does make sense. And the churning sounds a lot more like a spiral than...
Well, and see, that's exactly what that momentum, that cyclical flow up the back of the spine, arcing over, accessing the anterior, and then arcing under and feeding that. That's what actually provides the upward and downward draft so that the spirals can take off. And often people will talk about, you know, the sagittal is open, but it seems like they're hard, and very rarely do I get that spiral. And part of that is seeing that connection between the volumes, which we talk about at BGI2. But another part of that is that upward-downward flow has to be cycling in order to get that upward and downward draft to so that the spiral can take off. And so it's a huge, huge, huge part of that.
Awesome. And I suppose we'll talk more about that at BGI3?
I don't know. It's probably something more we'll talk about at the advanced groups in BGI2.
Okay.
Because BGI3 is already restructured, and, you know, who knows, we might mention it, but I'm redesigning it as we speak, so who knows where we're going to end up. But what's incredible as that opens up is that people, for me in practice, who a long time just seem to be kind of whiny, you know, I'm always doing so much and blah, 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 it's making headway with them. And so that their conversations are changing around that, and it adjusting them is getting easier. And I think that you know, if you take a look at anything we express in life, if what we do for a living is really, if there's credibility to it, then it is because of an underlying subluxation pattern. It's because of a lesson they haven't learned yet. And it's amazing how powerful the simplest thing in the system can be as far as an expression in somebody's life. And, you know, what's interesting for me with the conversation about prosperity is that I could, you know, quite frankly, had I not done this 40-day program, and really experienced it, not only the financial thing, but that just that release of worry, that I can see me listening to this phone call and going, oh, yeah, right, but, you know, what about what's in my checking account? What about this and what about this? I do have bills to pay, and I can visualize and visualize and And sometimes those patterns are so strong that it's hard to get out of that rut. And so, you know, one, obviously getting adjusted yourself. And two, sometimes it's what was said earlier in the call as far as the feeling associated with it. It's a feeling that then is propagated. And yes, do the things that you need to do to build your practice and to get out of that. And also, you know, clear the patterns you're getting adjusted. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, perhaps. But it's amazing how many of us, even if we have people close by, we don't take the time. Where it's like, well, yeah, I'll do it tomorrow, and then it never happens. And then the other thing is that realizing that the activity that you do is really secondary to the belief in how you see yourself. And if you can see yourself as prosperous, and if you can take those moments where there's that sense of, yeah, and just keep reminding yourself and sustaining and nourishing that feeling, it's amazing how it manifests in your life and how it lessens the patterns and opens that door of possibility, which is a shift in consciousness that happens first, that then opens the door for us to even see those patterns and recognize them then and be released. Then it's amazing, the ripple effect. And now I'm done blabbering.
There was no blabbering involved there. Does anybody want to communicate a little bit about how people in their practice talk about their relationship to money shifting as a result of your work? Has anybody had that experience? Okay.
Aside from me?
I'm sure I've said it several times, I use that Hoberman sphere as my visual aid in the first visit, and I use it in lieu of a spine. And what I tell people is that what I love about it is that, for me, it can represent that that concept of expanding, whether it's one cell expanding in relation to another, the cranium expanding in relation to the cervicals, a person's creativity expanding, a person's relationship to money expanding. And it's very interesting to watch people's eyebrows, particularly since I'm in Manhattan. And it's an issue for everybody as to how their relationship with money is. And I've had a rash of people quit their jobs, but then come back to me and talk about how their experience of money and how their experience of making a living and how their experience of their participation in the workforce and what they're doing and how they're contributing has changed so dramatically, and they all attribute it to the work, and it is so totally cool. And I love it, and that's why I love going into my practice. Anybody else want to talk about that? So you want to talk about you?
Okay. I'll just mention that also what you're saying, Amy, some of it's more on a relationship base and, you know, some of it's with career change, but I definitely see after practice for a while people's idea of prosperity changing and people redefining and trusting that they're going to have enough, whether it's enough love and that they can let go of a relationship that's not working for them to allow for whatever relationship or many relationships to come in, whether it's on a friendship level or if it's on an intimate one-on-one partnership level or whatever level. I see it change in that way as well as with, you know, their work and their careers or their vocation and what they're choosing. And that they're allowing themselves to have more joy in releasing what's old and not needed and trusting that there's going to be enough of whatever they worried previously about, and so that made them hold on. So, yeah, I definitely see that happening.
Yeah, thank you for that. All right.
right. Well, from all of those beeps, it sounds like we have a bunch of people that are heading out. And so I just want to kind of conclude by saying that I'm going to send out an email that has all of the 40-day prosperity program information on it. I want to reiterate that it is open and available for absolutely everybody. If you want to be part of an email group, please send me your email. My email is amy@flourishnyc.com, and that email address is on Sue's website on the referral page. And
Amy at flourishnyc, like New York City, dot com. Okay. Thank you.
And if you didn't get it, just go to the BGIseminars.com website at their referral page under New York, and I'm there, and I'll have my contact information. So thank you all for being here and participating in whatever way. And I am so looking forward to hearing from all of you in different formats over the next 50 days. So we're going to start next Monday. I will include all of the future dates in the email. And thank you for being here. Sue and Marie, do you have anything you want to add?
And just logistics, next Monday, meaning not this coming one, but the one after that? Or which one?
The...
Wait, what day is
this coming?
Tuesday. Okay, thank you.
So, let's see, today is the 11th, so the 18th, 17th.
17th, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And then that will give us also, like, GTA3, there's just going to be so much prosperity walking into that room. It will be awesome to watch. Very cool. Mm.
Thank you, Amy.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.
All right, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Hey, Amy, thanks.
You have been listening to Prosperity, presented by Dr. Maria Amick and Dr. Amy Burke. This program is brought to you by the Biogeometric Integration Community Call Series, hosted by Dr. Amy Burke, recorded and engineered by Dr. Jeffrey Hoffman. This recording is copyrighted in 2009 by Dr. Susan M. Brown, all rights reserved. For more information on biogeometric integration, go to www.bgiseminars.com or call at 630-258-1054.